You're listening to Ward and L on Canada Talks.
Here he is. We love having this guy here. Communications expert and all-around swell guy. Please welcome Evan Thompson. Hello, Evan.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Anytime.
You know, we need all the advice on how to be professional in the workplace we can get. Because,
yeah,
you know, we ebb and flow.
Regardless of our roles, what we do, what we like to do, what we'd rather be doing right now, we do need guidance. We need a voice of reason, an objective third party to help us.
Yes. Speaking of which, a voice of reason, do you ever freak out? Because you're so calm and measured, and whenever you're in here, and I know, listen, you're being professional, and you're very situation appropriate, but I can't imagine you, like, getting mad and throwing stuff around and being like, who ate my sandwich?
No, I don't throw things. There's no projectiles going around, but sometimes I do reach a point, like everybody else, cut off in traffic. In my office the other day, I bumped into four people coming out of bathrooms, coming out of kitchenettes, coming out of a boardroom. I bumped into four people in less than 2 minutes. I wasn't pleased. I was really quite upset at their lack of incivility because they were taking the corners
right,
as if they were Formula One drivers, and they were hammering it. They were hammering it, and they handed it, you know, handed me my tea all over a shirt.
Oh no!
So yes, I do lose it,
and
I gotta stop talking about this right now. But anyway, sorry.
Do you in that moment? Do you go, okay, I am about to lose it over this situation. I just can't imagine you actually yelling. Do you yell ever? Have you yelled?
Yes, I do. But yelling is all relative.
Right. Yeah, it's a soft yell, I feel like.
It's more sort of a reasoned yell. It's not a high-pitched scream.
Yeah, okay. I'm a big fan of the high-pitched scream myself.
The primal scream?
Yeah. But
sounds like she got bit by a shark.
It's that's interesting because one of my pet peeves, especially in this building, is when you're in the elevator. Mm-hmm. And the doors open and the person that is waiting for the elevator just immediately before the doors fully open starts walking in. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Is every elevator always empty for you? Can I get out before you smash on into this elevator? Or when the doors open and they're standing waiting right in the middle of the doorway and you're like, well, can I get off?
And so... just I can tell by your voice, you're not pleased story.
It's getting high-pitched, right?
No, it's not getting high-pitched. It's just getting intense.
Yeah.
And what will it do to the rest of your day if you can put yourself in a state where you are agitated? Just recounting a story, what happens if you're in the moment? I don't mean you. I mean, what if one is in a moment where this does happen?
I've never freaked out, but in my brain, I always think, I hate.
Well, how can you communicate that to the person who's just spilled tea all over you or taken you out while you're trying to get on or off an elevator? You know, how can you communicate your displeasure, which is good, get it off your chest, but not
yell?
Not yell.
Give them the finger.
And
hey, Andretti, thanks for the t-shirt. This is just what I wanted t-shirt. For the rest of the day.
T-shirt was pretty good, right?
Yeah. How's that?
That's great.
Yeah. Next time, why don't you give it to me out of a gun?
Okay. Now it's too far.
Oh?
Yeah.
Too far. Hey, Andretti, thanks for the t-shirt. Was okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it wasn't okay.
Thanks for bashing into me, Richard Petty.
So,
are you just trying to show that you know the names of race car drivers?
So I've got tea all over my shirt.
Yeah.
What do I say? Do I send a nice sort of ambiguous mixed message like, oh, thanks, I love tea. I can never get enough. Mm. You know, angry because your body language, you're ready to haul off.
But
you're trying to make nice with this sort of lame attempt at humor.
Hey, can I get you something to drink, buddy? Maybe I could wring out my shirt into a shot glass and you could have yourself a little sip of Earl Grey.
Exactly. That's a big mixed message. Because really what you want to do is take them in and put them in the sink.
Yeah.
And leave them there.
So what did you do?
Did you
do the right thing? With the way you behaved, was it what you would describe as the optimal way to handle it?
What I said, I think, wasn't really that effective. I mentioned something to the effect, what about civility? Whatever happened to civility? And the third person who did it to me, rounded the corner at, 90 clicks, I said, do you
That's
walk around your house like this? Like, do you mow down your partner, your kids? And it was just too deep for them. They said, no, I'm just in a hurry. And they continued texting, which caused the whole problem to begin with.
Well, that's, look up.
Aha!
Eyes up.
My big pet peeve, people who walk into me because they're texting.
On the streets, right. In the subways, on buses, behind wheels of vehicles.
Mm-hmm. I do think that if you said to me, whatever happened to civility, I would hesitate for a minute because I would be like, what does he mean by that? Just because I feel like civility isn't really a word that gets thrown around a lot anymore.
No, it's from Downton Abbey, but I like using it because civilization, communication, it's all part of the same thing.
It's true. And so what if these people had said in that moment, like, oh, Evan, I'm so sorry. I should have been paying attention to where I'm going. Would that have made the situation better for you, or would you still feel like civility doesn't exist?
It would have made the situation more tolerable.
Right.
But the fact that they took the corner at 90K shows a selfishness that goes against my nature.
Right.
To be quite honest, I am who I am, as Popeye said. And I really do believe that because they're in a rush, because they have a client waiting in the reception area, that's really no reason to go whipping around the corner. And then in most cases, the response was, after hearing my rebuke, was, sheesh.
Yeah.
What's
your problem, guy?
Chill out. What's your problem?
And did you chill out?
Eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah, when
people
you said
say
it.
Chill out, that's just basically you. If someone says to me when I'm annoyed, why don't you just chill out? You're just asking me to go from 60 to 120.
Because
I've already gone 0 to 60. Now I'm going to slam on the gas and you better watch yourself.
Do you know, of all the situations, we'll take the working environment, we'll take the home environment, anywhere. It's when you start to receive mixed messages.
Yeah.
That to me is a form of torture.
Yes.
Because it's now you see it, now you don't. It's like taking direction from a client or a boss. And you say, are you telling me to do this or are you suggesting that it might be to my benefit to do this?
Deja vu.
What do you want me to do? Oh, is this deja vu? Is this... Yep. Like telepathic?
We've heard that before.
So the mixed message is an art form,
in
my view. And some people do it very well if they want to manipulate and punish. And some people do it really badly because, in my view, they're not sure what they want to do. So it's talking out of both sides of the mouth.
I've experienced both sides of this. Business-wise, it's usually the latter. Not really sure. I'll tell you, in my dating life, it's the former, though. I'm really good at dating mixed messages.
Okay, so wait, the former is... Mean and manipulative, right?
Yeah.
And the latter is...
Confused.
Okay, yeah, I would give you that. Let's talk about some, say, in the workplace. Let's talk about that, right? What would be an example? Let's say your manager calls you over to talk about your work.
Evan... You've really been working hard. You need a holiday. I'm going to arrange a holiday for you. But in the meantime, we've got a deadline coming up and I'm going to ask you to work the full weekend again. But I'll get back to you about your holiday. So
you're not going to get a holiday.
No, but you're wondering the mixed message is such that you're not sure if you're getting a holiday or you're going to get hard labor for the next quarter because sales are down and you have to make it up by working on the weekends.
Shouldn't have gone into broadcasting.
So what do you say to the boss? I would say, when am I going to be given a holiday? I'll pull my weight. I'm happy to work here, et cetera, all the right things. But you counter that passive aggressive, vague comment with a direct question that will pin them down.
Right.
And they pull out their phone and they say, okay, you're down for the third week in June 2019.
Well, unacceptable. At least,
unacceptable. Yes, that's another mixed message. Because they don't want you to have a holiday. They want you pinned down working all the time.
Yeah.
So much for work-life balance. Mm-hmm. Or they may say June 2016, which is a little more acceptable. But at least you've pinned them down.
And well, no, that's away. Less acceptable because that's already passed. You said June 2016.
Oh, thanks. I can't function without looking at my phone, you know, if I don't
have...
Anyway.
And then you walk into people.
Mm-hmm.
We are speaking to Evan Thompson. He is a communications expert, telling us all about mixed messages. There's a lot of this in the business world. There's a lot of this in the business world when people talk about management. And that doesn't necessarily have to be, when I say the business world, it doesn't have to be an office with guys in suits. I mean, it could be people working at McDonald's. It can be somebody working outdoors, digging ditches, right? I mean, it's just a matter of a lot of times people, management with all their responsibilities, a lot of times they got to get the job done, but sometimes they're just bad at communicating that to the workers, right? And it's that fine line between getting the job done for the company and at the same time appreciating the worker, right? And trying to motivate the worker. That could be a chore, right? That could be a challenge. And I could see a lot of the mixed messages could come from that. You got a deadline to meet. You got to get these things done, right? And you got to express that to the person. But in doing so, maybe you don't express correctly to them the team effort, let's say.
Exactly. And your body language is a huge part of that. If you're sending a mixed message, your body language will support the confusion that the person feels who's getting a mixed message. For example, yeah, you do need a holiday. I'm now shrugging my shoulders. So have your holiday.
Oh, that now and, I feel
and,
guilty.
And yes, now I feel
guilty. Now
you're
guilty. Making me feel like a bad person for taking the time that I am owed.
Right.
And all sorts of things. It's called having your buttons pushed.
Yeah.
You're wondering about your worth to the firm, your worth to yourself. Are you really as loyal as you say you are?
Yeah, I'm assuming now that if I take that vacation, you're going to fire me when I get back.
Yeah, and I'm going to have a lousy time, and it's probably going to rain 7 days out of the seven to punish me for being a slacker.
Yeah.
Now, this is an extreme. This is a movie that runs in a lot of people's heads, especially given the economy and how tenuous or how difficult it can be to stay fully employed for any length of time. People come and go in this economy rapidly.
Yeah.
And they're hanging on, sometimes by the skin of their teeth. So they think. So the mixed messages from their bosses, just to whip them up a little more, aggravates the situation and makes them more anxious.
It's true.
Listener Dan tweets in, express your displeasure. Can't do that if you work in customer service, Evan. I think you can with your employers. I think when it comes to customers, it's a different thing.
Also,
I don't think in any business can you look at the customer and say, I got a neat idea. Why don't you, you know, I'll tell you where you can jam your leopard print Snuggie or whatever you're selling.
Well, except, you know what? I'll tell you where, if you work in customer service, you can be dismissive of the customer. And that's if you work for Air Canada. Anyway,
but you know what?
They don't care.
You know what? But that's just it. It's that also tells me that when people express such displeasure to the customers, it tells me that they don't feel they can do it to their management, to their bosses. And they take it out on the customer.
Interesting.
You know, I think that when people feel that they can really communicate with their company or the people, their or supervisors or whatever.
When they're empowered
yep.
by their...
I think that that's when they treat the customers better. I think a lot of times people take out their work aggression with the job out on the customer.
You raised an interesting question about how to deal with a customer who is irritating you if you're in the service industry. You might be in a sporting goods store. And the customer comes in and wants a shirt, certain type of workout shirt.
Under Armour.
There's a
good It's a workout plug. Shirt. It's a typical...
It sure is. And you're not able to find the right size. Mm-hmm. But they want you to go back into that storeroom and spend the entire weekend finding their size. Or ordering it from another store to get it in by end of day.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead of saying, you're crazy, get out of my face, go away, not a good customer service strategy.
Yeah.
You simply say, perhaps you'd have better luck if you went to a different brand or if you tried our thermal version.
Right.
They're over here and we have a broad size range for you. So you take them off the moment of stress and anxiety.
Right.
Without blowing them off.
Right. By presenting options.
Options.
Yeah.
Viable options. Hopefully options that benefit you and don't lose you the business. I.e. you don't suggest that they go across the road to a competitor.
Unless they've been doing this for like an hour.
Starting to trash the store.
Dude, Sport Check is across the street. Check there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I... By the way, can I just let people know that in most retail clothing stores, there is nothing in the back. So stop asking to check the back, honestly.
Yeah.
That's in the Gap. That people used to do that to me all the time. Well, can you check the back? No, there's literally nothing back there. Yeah. So...
There's a time clock and a desk where I eat my sandwich for 15 minutes.
Yep.
It's true. There was a time when... That's more in the department store days, right?
Yeah.
Because the department stores had this huge inventory and these back rooms and all that. You know, your average mall store these days...
The back room is the size of a closet.
Yeah. Almost everything that comes in goes out on the floor and then it's gone.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, Evan, we got to take a quick break. Hang out, okay? Because I want to talk about body language. You mentioned that. You know, we've talked about mixed messages. I want to talk a bit about body language because we have discussed that here and there on this show, but it's nice to have an expert in here to talk a little bit more about it with the listeners.
And I want to talk a little bit more about the concept of how you see yourself versus how other people see you, because that's very interesting.
Mm. Excellent. I'm pretty consistent in that. I think most people see me the way I see me.
Okay, so we're really going to dig into that when we come back after the break.
You're listening to Ward and Al. Evan Thompson is with us. At Ward and Al is our Twitter. We'll be right back. This is Canada Talks.
I'm Arlene Bunn, and join me today between 4 and 6 as we look at post-Trump Canada. Really, do the Liberals have to rethink the carbon tax and climate change? And Alberta and Ontario, too. Everything has changed. 167 Canada Talks, 4 to 6, Sirius XM.
Tonight, what's the dealio? I love when it's all too much. 5 a.m., turn the radio up. Where's the rock and roll?
Welcome back to Ward and L on Canada Talks.
All right, we're hanging out with Evan Thompson. He is a communications expert, business consultant. He's done it all, personal branding expert, and we love having him on the show. We were talking about mixed messages in the last segment, and I said one of my big pet peeves is mixed messages and people who send them, and even when I've done it myself. It's a flaw that I don't like in general, because before going into entertainment, I was in management for many years. Several different places.
It's important, though, that people know that you managed Hooters, though.
I did manage some Hooters, but I also managed 5-star hotels as well.
Yeah, but the important job was all those different Hooters that you managed.
You know, I'm having a hard time managing a couple right now. So.
It's rude. That was rude. I genuinely like Hooters. They have great fried pickles.
You're a fried pickle. Anyway, so the thing about management was, I always said, you know, things that good managers shouldn't be is passive aggressive, and yes, sending the mixed messages. And before going into the break, we talked about a little bit about self-perception.
Yeah, I was telling Evan during the break that I have this thing where I always assume that people I've only met once or twice are not going to remember who I am. So then if I see them, and in comedy, you meet so many comedians, and so sometimes I will be at a show, I will see someone that I've met once or twice, and I know they're kind of glancing at me, but I assume what they're thinking is, oh, she sort of looks familiar, but I don't know who that is. So then I won't say hi to them. And I always just assume they don't know who I am, whereas I have come to discover that sometimes on their end, they think that I see them and I'm ignoring them, and therefore I'm a giant jerk face. And so what I've realized is, it's like, yeah, you don't know. I assume people know what I'm thinking, that if I don't say hi to you, it's because I have insecurity issues. And if you don't say hi to me, it's because you don't remember who I am. And then you realize that's a thought process I've put on other people. And they don't know that's what I'm thinking, so they do just think I'm ignoring them and being a jerk. Fix me, Evan!
You know, at the root of this, in my humble opinion, I think we have so many stresses in our lives and so many yardsticks that we have to measure up to. From the time we're young children, we want to bring home a good report card. We don't want to fail. We want to please. Mm-hmm. We want to please our parents. Mm-hmm. And as we grow, we're thrown into competitive situations. And sometimes we fail. And it's really, and sometimes we succeed. Can't forget that. That's better. Better to succeed than to fail. Mm. But often we take a body hit that really decks us.
Right.
For a considerable amount of time. A traumatic event, post-traumatic stress disorder, where we find it impossible to relate to people, let alone be nice or indifferent. We can't even relate to them. We can't leave our rooms.
Right.
So to a degree, we're all damaged. Mm-hmm. To a degree. It varies. So the insecurity piece is just a natural way of wanting to deflect any criticism. I want to be safe. I want to be in my cocoon. I want my blankie and my hot chocolate. I don't want to go to this networking event because I'm not going to score any good prospects. And
fun
no
fact,
one will take my card.
I do have a blankie.
Yes, she does.
You mentioned it before.
Yes, she does.
I remember.
She's had it her entire life.
I brag about my blankie a lot.
Now, you know, it's when I was talking about like self-perception or the way we look at ourselves, little things I've begun to learn recently. I was reading about this. Interesting how we see ourselves compared to how others see us. Certain things that the average person doesn't realize. The average person will never know you're having a bad hair day. there's a little something. We spend all this time obsessing over our hair when it turns out the average person from day to day doesn't notice subtle changes in your hair. Even if, you know, if something's a little out of place or it's a little flat one day or whatever, the average person doesn't notice that. The average person doesn't notice little changes to you, such as if you're breaking out a little bit or if your skin is a little paler than usual. I was reading about this recently, how much we notice these things in ourselves and how little someone else notices it. The average person won't notice a little stain on your shirt that you notice drastically. You know, you notice is a big deal.
Maybe it's tea.
Yep.
Yes.
I made the comment before. I think I see myself exactly as other people see me. I obviously was kidding about that. Mm. It took me having a permanent coworker like Al to be able to see how other people see me more. Especially because of what we do for a living as an entertainer and as an extrovert in general, the average person wouldn't tell me what their perception of me was. Right. And I think that you don't have to be an entertainer for that to be the case, by the way. I think that happens a lot to people in management. I think the average person doesn't tell them how everyone sees them. And so they think everyone sees them the way they do, the way they see themselves.
That can lead to, you know, a lot of huge issues where a couple of things can happen. You become completely self-absorbed because it's all about you. You have no.
What's that like?
You have. I find it's not that bad. I think I'm okay, but I'm not all about me. I couldn't be in business. I couldn't have any clients if it was all about me talking about myself and stressing over whether my lapel is straight or my shirt's, you know, done up properly. But it can lead to a lot of self-absorption.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important
Deja vu.
To have relationships, professional, romantic, or other.
Yeah.
We need a mirror. We need to be able to look at ourselves through other people's eyes who we trust. You both have a trust level for one another.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you so good on air. Because you work, you're with one another, you get one another, you understand one another. If you were both in your own little booth, if you were both self-contained, you wouldn't have any back wall to bounce the ball off.
Right, right, right. So what do you do? How do people who have a disconnect between what the message they think they're sending versus the one that's receiving, if no one ever says to them, nobody gets what you're saying here, or if no one ever tells them the way we see you isn't the way you see yourself, how does anyone ever figure that out?
They come to it themselves. For example, if they talk too much, they try and control a group conversation too much, they talk about their kids too much or their grandchildren too much, they cease being invited to do things, they get uninvited. Maybe down the road, the light goes on. I talk too much. I wish one of my so-called friends, in quotes, had told me. Why didn't they? I guess they're not really friends after all. So that's a reason that mixed messages are so incredibly destructive.
Right.
You give the person a sense of false well-being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you collapse them because they don't really know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, to her credit, Al does not give anyone a false sense of being. You're a straight shooter.
I mean that as a compliment.
I mean that I'm being serious now. I mean that as a compliment.
But here's the thing. I'm only a straight shooter. Look, there's people I know that I don't know that well, that it's like...
Oh, no, when it's solicited.
No, even when it's like, No, but listen, there's some people that it's like they could come and be like, Allison, I want your advice. And in my brain, I'm going, oh, God, this guy. I can't with this guy.
Yeah.
And then he'll say what he has to say, and I'll be like, follow your heart, which is the worst advice ever. But no, with most people, I try to be very genuine.
Was it Mike Bullard?
Except for people, I have no time for Mike Bullard either. But he's never sought my advice on anything.
Right.
But even when I see him, I'm just like, nah. Anyway, but yeah, I'm a very straight shooter unless I don't care about you. And in that case, I'm probably just going to avoid interacting with you.
And if you have to interact...
But if I have to interact, I'll be a professional.
But you won't really have any heart. You won't have any skin in the game. You'll just put whatever's out there. If it's a mixed message, so be it. You just don't want trouble. And you don't want to engage the person any further than you absolutely have to.
You know what? I guess if I have to interact with them, then I am probably still going to be as straight a shooter as I can be.
So you're stuck on a tarmac. You've been told takeoff will be delayed by 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
You're sitting next to someone who is really pretty obnoxious.
Yeah. Say, okay, so Ward and I are traveling together.
Okay, Ward and you, first class.
Oh, no.
And yeah.
You obviously don't know our
you
lives.
You can't get any tray service.
Okay.
All the pursers have gone fishing. They're at the back of the aircraft, mm-hmm. asleep.
The pursers,
yeah.
You're adorable. Keep going, sorry.
That's politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be stewardesses, flight attendants.
I thought it was just stewards now.
I thought it was just flight attendant. Flight attendant is good.
Flight attendant is gender
neutral.
Out
much. I don't get out much. Anyway.
Whatever.
So
the helper people not helping.
So then what do you do? How do you make the most of a bad situation?
Oh, you put in your earbuds.
Well, that solves that part of the segment of the conversation. That's exactly, that's the best. Yeah, forget this philosophy, you know, reach out, listen, be empathetic. No, just and crank up the volume.
Well, if it's a
stranger,
Van
Halen, I suggest.
If it's a stranger on a plane, like at that point, I'm like, no, we're not working out this situation. Just don't talk to me. You know what I mean?
I've had that happen to me. And I'm sort of relieved when people just shut down.
Yeah.
And I just talk to myself. It works out. No, I don't. I really,
I was going to say, I find that hard to believe. You're like, so I just weird them out.
Bring
no,
out
you
the
don't.
Book. I bring out
yeah.
the book.
I make
In case of emergency, bring out the book. If you're stuck in those situations, you can't be bothered sending mixed messages.
No.
Because you have no message to send.
I do that in meetings with our bosses here at the SiriusXM Canada.
Goes over well.
Middle of the boardroom, I just pull out a book.
When traveling, train, plane, whatever it is, traveling long distances, I always have a number of activities that I get out before I even put my seatbelt on so that people are clear. Oh no, we're not chit-chatting.
Yeah.
I don't want to chit-chat, okay? We're just two strangers on a plane, so.
Unless they start playing Journey, she'll sing along.
I will sing along, and unless, like, don't get me wrong, Dwayne The Rock Johnson sitting next to me, I'm like, what's up? Let's chit-chat, boo. But for the most part, like, yeah, we don't need to talk. Is that rude? Am I rude?
No.
I don't want to talk to strangers
people,
on a plane.
No, people travel. Oddly enough, here I am, the talk radio host and the extrovert and the comedian and all that. I don't like talking on planes either. I'm very insular once I'm on a plane. I put my earbuds in and I have a book. I like to kind of rope myself off from everyone. I'm not nervous when I fly, but I like my privacy when I fly. It sounds weird to have privacy amongst hundreds of people, but I do like it that way. So
it's interesting. In February, I have a travel day of 32 hours. Well, I guess that's more than a day. And it will be interesting to see if I manage to not talk to anyone for that amount of time, because I can go quite some time without talking, but a whole day? I might have to break my own rule and start trying to talk to strangers on the plane.
Don't worry, Evan. Regular listeners also know that Al can probably sleep for 3/4 of that. That's not a joke. Al can sleep for a good bit of time.
So with the holidays coming, there'll be lots of conversations.
Yeah.
There'll be lots of mixed messages. Back to my favorite topic on this show, alcohol and what it can do to conversations.
Oh, and it's office party time.
Yes, and how to cut that career very short or how to extend it beyond your wildest dreams. If you want to do the latter, you listen, you don't have a lot to drink, and you ask questions, not just of senior management, but you ask questions of everybody, people who you don't often work with.
Yeah.
That way you learn a lot about the culture and you learn a lot about them and they remember you for it because you're not kissing up.
Let's say you do, you're at the office Christmas party and you do have way too much to drink. Is there anything you can do that will be memorable and make people love you? Should you do karaoke? Is there... Is there anything, any big spectacle that you can put on that will... I'm getting fired this Christmas, aren't I, Evan?
The cards are on the table from what I'm hearing, but call Uber right away.
Yeah, get out of there.
Just get out of it. And avoid the long, huggy goodbyes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I think I might have had a bit too much to drink.
I think if
avoid that.
I think if there's one good place to ghost, it's at the office Christmas party. I think if you just...
I bet Evan's going to say that's a bad idea.
You think it's a bad idea to leave...
Without telling anybody?
As they call the Irish goodbye or the French exit. I often, at an office party, I may tell, like, say, Al, but I'll often just be gone, be out of there.
Boy, it's starting to feel like December all of a sudden, but that's a very good question. If I'm in a private home... Doesn't matter if it's a boss or a major client. I always say goodbye to the host when I have them in a quiet moment.
Agreed.
But if I'm in a hall or a corporate environment, I just leave.
Right.
But I don't leave quickly. I don't leave in a huff. I may say goodbye to a couple of people, but I keep moving.
Right.
Because otherwise you'll be at the door with your coat.
For 8
Hot
days.
Hot as a potato. Yeah. Glad handing and saying goodbye. Because if people want to see you before the holidays, they'll come to you, right?
Yeah.
But you don't want that because you're leaving.
Yes.
We are speaking to Evan Thompson. He is a communications expert and branding consultant. So back to, we talked a little bit about it, but body language. For instance, body language, especially when you're working with people. I mean, obviously, just our interpersonal, you know, Al was talking about being on a plane, putting in the earbuds. That's a body language thing. Letting people know I'm shutting off, you know, opening up the book. That's one. What is some negative body language that people pass around, especially, say, in a working environment?
The most common negative body language I've ever seen is the folding of the arms while someone is talking to you or listening, because it means they're putting up a wall.
Right.
Right. You've just said something that makes them want to shut down. Yeah.
Yes. And they may even turn slightly to the left or to the right.
Right.
When you lose eye contact with them, then it's trouble.
Yeah.
It's game over.
What about pacing? What if your boss is pacing a lot?
It means hurry up. Tell me what I need to know and get out of my office. Are we going to make our numbers or aren't we?
Yeah.
Out with it.
All right.
And pacing's another sign of anxiety, and that's again where the mixed messages can pop in.
Right.
That's very true.
Because the person doesn't want to engage you, and so they're not really sure how they feel about you. Can they stand another 5 minutes in your presence, or do they want you just to vaporize?
You know, my entire life I've heard about the arms folded, like you just said, the arms folded. But you know what? A lot of people also, I think... I do think that can be a negative body language thing. And I also think some people, it's don't know what to do with their hands. I do. I really do believe it's not always negative. I think it can be. But I also think a lot of times people seated a certain way or where they are, it's not a closed off thing as much as it's wanting to do something with their hands.
But is it a reactionary thing? Because if I'm sitting here and we're talking and I'm fairly open and my hands aren't, and you say something and all of a sudden I do one of these.
Yeah.
That's an indication like... I don't like what you just said, Evan. Oh, I like how I just said do one of these and the listeners are like, I can't see you. I folded my arms and turned away a little bit. You know, it's one thing where if I'm already sitting like this when we're talking or if the arms crossing is accompanied by a bit of a facial reaction and a body shift, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sometimes, as you're sitting now, you look comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any defiance or dislike of what I've said or am saying.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden we're in a conversation and the arms go up, then it's definitely a sign. Some good stuff about body language. When you mirror someone, i.e. they fix their glasses and we're mirroring now. I'm touching my glasses, you're touching yours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way of involving synchronicity in the conversation. We're both on the same trajectory. We're both talking. We're both trying to engage. So we're reinforcing that activity by mirroring each other. So if I stretch my leg out and you stretch your leg out and I don't fall off the chair, then we're mirroring each other. That's very positive.
So, but are you saying if that naturally occurs, or are you saying if you feel like...
It will naturally occur if you're in sync with the person.
But so can you fake that?
Sometimes you can, but then it looks a little contrived. It looks like you're imitating them.
Right.
You don't want to be imitating. You want to mirror them.
It's so complicated.
Well, it is. It'd be good to get some cameras in here and...
I feel like that would be a bad idea. I feel like there might be grounds for firing at that point. I already do a lot of hand gestures that are probably not appropriate.
And I already mug so much you could put a handle on my head. You can see more about Evan at C-Suite Prospects. Of course, we always have him on here regularly, and you got to keep coming back and teaching us.
Thank you for having
me. Yes, we need all the help being professional we can get.
We're going to come back and talk about your emails and your tweets and what you've been sending us. And we're going to wrap up the day. So stick around. This is Warden Al, and you're listening to Canada Talks.
Warden Al. We'll be right back after this.